Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, we'll be going to verse 9. Title of our thoughts today, Trusted in Themselves. And you will quickly figure out where we get the title from. Would you please stand as we read from Luke chapter 18, and we'll read just verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9, And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Luke. We thank you, Lord, for men and women who are humble in spirit, but, Lord, are willing to serve you faithfully. Lord, be with us during this time. We ask that the Lord would, Spirit would move, touching hearts both here and those watching online. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our message this morning does come from this well-known portion of Scripture found in Luke chapter 18. We'll read more of the parable shortly. And I don't know about you, but Luke is my favorite of the four gospel narratives. I don't know if you've ever even thought about it, but I've always enjoyed Luke most. Luke writes this account of the life of Christ to the most excellent Theophilus. Why? Well, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 4, so that Theophilus mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You know, it's good to know the Word of God so that we can trust the Word of God. Luke begins with the John the Baptist's birth being foretold. The angel came to his father and told him that his wife Elizabeth, who was barren, would have a child. And because he didn't believe, he couldn't speak for those 9 months. He then tells us of Mary, who was visited by the angel Gabriel, where he declares the coming birth of the Christ child, Jesus. In Luke 2, we have the story of Joseph and Mary traveling to Bethlehem. The angels coming to the shepherds to bring them good tidings of great joy. And then the shepherds traveling to Bethlehem to find the newborn babe. Also in Luke 2, we have the story of the 12-year-old Jesus going to Jerusalem with his parents and confounding those that listened to him while he was in the temple. In Luke's writings, we find thoughts about John the Baptist, the genealogy of Mary, the temptations of Jesus by the devil, Jesus in the synagogue declaring that he has come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, he was saying, I am here. We find the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the calling of his disciples, many of our Lord's healing of the sick and dying, part of the Sermon on the Mount, the healing of the centurion's servant, many of his parables, including the parable of the sower that went forth to sow. His calming the waves when the disciples feared for their lives as Jesus was asleep in the boat and the sea had risen and the waves were coming into the boat. Then we have what I consider one of the most incredible stories of Luke, in which a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years is healed as he is going to heal a 12-year-old girl who is the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. One of the three accounts of the transfiguration of Jesus is found here in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 9, we find the one miracle recorded in all four of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 men and the women and children. In Luke chapter 10, we find the story of the 70 that Jesus sent forth to witness of him, saying, notice, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. As we think of our mission conference, we think of those who were willing to go. Brother Lang and his wife to Nigeria. We think of the fact that we're going to be hearing from New Zealand and the Gunthers. We think of those who have gone forth to proclaim the name of the Lord. And because of your faithful support of the worldwide mission outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church, we are able to help them. We find in Luke chapter 10 also the great parable of the Good Samaritan. And of course, that stirred the people. Then there is the contrast between the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha. Martha is doing all the preparation for a fine meal. And where is Mary? She is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him talk. And Jesus said, yes, the physical food is good, but the spiritual food is even of greater necessity. In chapter 12, we find the parable of the rich fool, where the Lord asks, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? We need to make sure we have the right priorities in life. You know, to be honest, our Lord did not leave us here to become millionaires. He leaves us here to be witnesses and testimonies of Christ. If we become millionaires along the way, well, that's just gravy. But shall we continue in chapter 15? We have the great parable, the prodigal son. And skipping ahead now to chapter 18, we find the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Let's read verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he spake this parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Can you in your mind's eye see Jesus there? His disciples are behind him. They are listening intently. And there's a group of people out in front of him, many of them Pharisees, and he's going to give this parable. Listen. See, when Jesus talks, we should listen. And he says, and he spake this parable unto certain. In other words, he was aiming it at certain people. When I preach, I don't use a rifle. I use a shotgun. In other words, the shot goes out and let the Holy Spirit move the shot to those that need it, which trusted in themselves. You know, it's a dangerous thing to believe that you can work your way to heaven. It's a dangerous thing to believe that if I am good enough, if I'm nice to people and I don't hurt people, that I'm going to be allowed into heaven just on my own merit and my good works. And the Lord is telling us that if we trust in ourselves, we're not going to make it. We must go through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who ransomed us from our sins. And notice it says, and despised others. In their self-righteousness, they thought they were better than other people that were with them. And you know, there can be self-righteous people even here this morning. That we think that, well, I've made it. I couldn't get any better. I am the best there can be. And I feel sorry for that person on the other side of the building. We should never feel that way. For all of us need to improve. And all of us need to mature, and all of us need to grow in the grace of the Lord. Two men, in your mind's eye, can you see these two men walking up to the temple? Are they walking close, side by side? Is one ahead of the other? We don't know. All we know is Jesus sees two men in his parable walking up to the temple to pray. And we're going to see two different attitudes as they pray. One will exalt himself and tell God how lucky he is to have him on his side. And the other is going to beg for mercy. The other is going to admit that he is a sinner. Folks, we need to remember that we are sinners. There are lost sinners and there are saved sinners, but all mankind sins, and we will do so until we get into heaven, when the presence and power of temptations and sin will be no more. Amen. Notice, one, a Pharisee. Those that are Pharisees are listening, wondering how he's going to pat them on the back. I mean, they were a religious group. They weren't like the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. They believed in the resurrection. They believed in the law of Moses. They wanted to do what was right. Well, at least in their own eyes. And then the other was a publican. Can you hear the boos and hisses as he mentions publicans? Because the people didn't like publicans because they took money. The two of them, do you see them there? One is over here, close to the front. The other is standing afar off. He's still there in the temple area, but he is fearful. Notice verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus. All those that are listening are wanting to hear how Jesus describes the prayer of the Pharisee. And it says here, he prayed thus himself, God, I thank thee. You know, we all ought to thank God for what he does for us. Amen. You know, you ought to thank God you live in America. You ought to thank God that you have the blessings of electricity. Right? Yeah, you ought to thank God for the natural gas that's going to heat our homes in a short period of time. I hate to think about that. But aren't you glad for hot water at your house? You know, I took a shower this morning. Aren't you glad? I even used Dial. Do you remember that commercial? Yes. But we are so blessed. You have a refrigerator or two in your house with food in it. Aren't you glad for good food? Amen. Yes. I even have in my house some buttermilk. Don't you wish you did too? No. How come the no's were louder than the yeses? Yes. Have you ever put pepper in your buttermilk? It adds a different taste to it. I'll move along. Yes, notice his prayer. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know men that have a lot of money that don't know Christ. I would rather not have a lot of money and know Christ. Now, if I can have know Christ and have a lot of money, that's good on both sides, right? Absolutely. But this man, he says, I'm glad I'm not like others. Now, notice, he says, not like those that are extortioners. or unjust or adulterers. We could put in there fornicators. We are not to be like the lost man who sins openly. Notice, or even as this publican. The Pharisee knew who the other man was. I wonder if he pointed at him in his prayer. I wonder if he said, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. Folks, we need to worry about ourselves first. Amen. You know, sometimes it's very difficult for me to get up and preach and tell you, you need to change, because I realize there are things in my life that I need to change. See, as one points out, there are many fingers pointing back, right? But the fact is, he says, I'm better than him. But in the eyes of the Lord, we're going to find that we're all sinners. I fast twice in the week. Do any of you fast twice in a week? In fact, how many of you have fasted twice in the last month? How many of you have fasted twice in 2021? You know, the fact of the matter is, most of us don't fast at all, other than when we're sleeping. That's why they call it breakfast, because you're breaking your fast. And then notice, I give tithes of all that I possess. It's good to give to the Lord, but our tithing will not get us into heaven. Verse 13, and the publican. They liked hearing the Pharisee, but, oh man, it sounds a little self-righteous. But what about this publican? What is Jesus going to say about this man that they despise? Standing afar off. Maybe all by himself. Nobody wanted to be near him. Now, we're not told anything about his business practices, but he is there at the temple praying. And he is so humble and so knowing of his sinful condition that he is not even willing to raise his eyes towards heaven. But he smote upon his breast. Can you hear it? As he smites his breast. Now, I'm not going to do it because I am hooked up to a mic and I don't want to, you know, hurt anybody's ears as I smote on my breast. But it says here, saying, God be what? Merciful. Be merciful. When you come before an almighty God, never demand justice. Beg for mercy. Beg for mercy. Because God hates sin. Amen. But thank God he loves the sinner. He hates the sin. Because sin separates. Sin separates us from each other. But more importantly, it divides us from God. It separates us because we cannot be used of the Lord in our sinful condition. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't ever think that you are good enough to get into heaven because of your good works. What does God need from you that will make it so that you can go into heaven? Good night, the street is of gold, showing us that gold really isn't all that valuable. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's what sin is worth. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gift of God. We are to take the gift that he offers. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I'm not asking you if you're religious. Religion will not get you into heaven. Folks, there's lots of religion in Sterling Heights. But religion will not get you there. It's man's attempt to seem holy. But religion, well, that's what we're depending in. And depending on, will disappoint. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. to put your most prized possession into the hands of God, your soul, which will live for all eternity, either in heaven or hell. Pride and arrogance and religion condemns us in the eyes of God. Can I tell you this, that I may attend a Baptist church all my life, but if that's all I do, I will not get into heaven. Being a Baptist doesn't make me eligible to walk through that door. It's that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has saved my soul. The Pharisee had religion, but he did not have a right relationship with his Creator God. Notice what it says there in verse 14. I tell you, this man, who is this man? The publican went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The publican humbled himself, asking God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I think it's sad that we live in a world that has tried to give the credit of creation and the beauty of our universe to pure chance. But one of the reasons that evolution has been promoted is so that we don't have to believe that there is a Creator God who has the right to condemn sin and to condemn lifestyles of humans that want to go astray from the Word of God. Can I tell you this? It is better to be in the will of God than to be outside of the will of God, standing on my own two feet. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He had been forgiven. The mercy had been extended to him. Shall we stand together for our invitation song? You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of another week or another month. You need to make sure that you are prepared to meet your Maker. That you are prepared to stand before the Judge of the universe. May I encourage you, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, do so today. Either if you're watching at home or you that are here, it's good to know that Jesus is always willing and able to save a soul. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, bless it, we pray. May the Spirit move and convict. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.